As we wrap up week 5 of the new Buckmaster Show, I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show for Friday, February the 4th, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster on KJLL AM 1330, and we're always on the World Wide Web for you at buckmastershow.com. On Fridays, the Buckmaster Show presents Friday Focus. We bring in a newsmaker into the studio for questioning by myself and one of our Reporters Roundtable regulars. This week it's Jim Ninsel from the Tucson Weekly. This week's Friday Focus features a newsmaker interview with Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. Mr. Huckleberry, good to see you. It's not quite as cold this morning as it was yesterday.
Good morning, Bill. It certainly has warmed up a couple of degrees, so that's progress.
How many years have you been in Tucson, and have you ever seen anything like the temperatures we had here yesterday?
Well, I was born here, and as far as I can remember, I've never seen anything quite like this. Obviously, the temperature yesterday hadn't been replicated since 1899, so over 100 years, and I'm not over 100 years old yet.
Thousands of us had frozen pipes, all sorts of problems, and I know there are thousands of people who do not have heat in Pima County because of some Southwest gas shortages. Give us a quick update on the situation for those folks.
Well, yesterday, obviously, we activated our emergency operations center. We brought in all the staff we needed to try and coordinate and understand really what was occurring. And primarily, most of the gas outages are in the unincorporated area of Pima County. There are probably a few. The largest area in the city is Rita Ranch. I talked with a Southwest Gas vice president yesterday afternoon, offered any assistance the county could provide to them. They're simply, it's a supply issue and a pressure issue, and they're really subject to another supplier, a wholesale supplier of natural gas, and they can only serve what they provide and are given. And I think, and I talked to the vice president yesterday, he was indicating that they felt that they could start getting things turned back on this morning and getting people back to natural gas. But it's a commodity shortage, and this is what happens when there's record cold throughout the country.
Before I give it to Jim, one quick follow-up on that. And I know it's very important that the people, an attendant has to come out from the gas company to actually get you all fired up again, because it can be a real safety issue. And they were bringing in 70, 80 people from different areas to try to expedite this. But it's a slow process.
It's a slow process because you're dealing with a very dangerous commodity that either can blow up and cause a fire, or can, in fact, cause carbon monoxide poisoning. So it's very, very important that people let the folks who know how to do this, trained professionals for their own safety, get those appliances back online.
Chuck, we had a terrible crash of a helicopter for the Sheriff's Department earlier this week. Can you give us an update on what the latest is with the folks involved with that?
Well, it was another tragedy for the community, obviously, kind of something that sent us back into shock. Obviously, we lost a dedicated pilot for the Sheriff's Department, Lauren Leonberger. We had other county staff on that helicopter doing their job. And two of them were county employees, one a long-term employee and another. And then a contractor, and the contractor is fine. The contractor was a contract radio engineer. He broke a wrist. One of our information technology staff basically was sitting in the back of the aircraft and didn't incur many injuries at all. The person who was sitting in the front with a pilot was seriously injured and still in the hospital. I visited him yesterday. He's a dedicated long-term employee, great guy. And we wish him the best, and we think he's scheduled for hopefully a full recovery. They were doing their job. They were doing what they're supposed to do. They were promoting a series of network towers for what we call interoperable public safety communication.
That's a project that's been going on now for since 9/11, essentially.
Yeah,
right?
Since 9/11, and actually
to that whole notion that you need to have your first responders able to communicate with each other.
Yes, and is actually authorized by voters in 2004 in a bond issue, $92 million, for complete interoperable communications for all of our public safety, first responders, whether it be a fire district, fire departments, city police departments, town, municipal, or the county sheriff. Everybody was going to be able to, and will, when this system is implemented, be interoperable. And it helps us respond quicker to community disasters. For example, the January 8th shooting at the Safeway. And, you know, even in this helicopter recovery rescue, we had multiple agencies there and communication issues. So I think it's something that, you know, will continue, will be done, and ultimately that system will be dedicated to those people who, you know, the individual lost their life and those who have been injured in this. It's just something that, you know, we need to kind of redouble our efforts to get it done and get it operable.
Because after reviewing the response of county personnel to the January 8th, that was one of the concerns about police and fire and all emergency personnel getting on the same page and talking to each other.
Oh, absolutely. We it's just a classic case of, you know, had multiple agencies, multiple fire agencies, multiple rescue agencies, and police agencies responding. And, you know, that in itself causes enough confusion, but the inability to talk to one another just amplifies the problem. So, you know, we need to really move forward and get this system operating and bite the bullet. It's going to cost everybody probably a little bit more, but in the long run, it's going to be well worth it and be very cost effective.
Coming up on 13 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show, it's Friday Focus. Chuck Huckleberry is with us. He's the Pima County Administrator. Jim Ninsel is also here from the Tucson Weekly.
Chuck, we're seeing a lot of interesting legislation coming out of the Arizona legislature early in the session here. Certainly one of the things they're talking about is the idea that they're going to remove somewhere around 280,000 people, I think the latest estimate is, from the Arizona healthcare rolls. And with that, what kind of impact would that have on Keno Community Hospital down here and the healthcare programs in Pima County?
Well, what happens is that will have a very dramatic impact on all hospitals in throughout Arizona. And in southern Arizona, the hospital system is comprised of nonprofit hospitals primarily, a couple of profit hospitals, and the university system that now we've turned over Keno to, and they're in the process of revitalizing and doing a great job at it. But what happens is those individuals who previously had insurance and could get managed care, could actually, you know, care for their medical needs, will now not be able to do that. And so their last resort is to walk into an emergency room to where they'll get critical care, very costly, and their acuity, meaning how sick they are, gets much, much worse because they didn't get that preventative care they could have gotten through insurance. So the net result will be significantly increased cost because these people are on access for a reason, that they're poor and they can't, you know, frankly, pay or afford health care insurance. So what happens is that then everybody else is going to pay that through higher insurance cost and higher health care cost. So we're just this cycle of basically trying to manage health care cost is going to see another setback.
I've heard it suggested that if the federal government doesn't approve this waiver, that Arizona should just go ahead and drop out of Medicaid entirely and stop participating in the access. What kind of impact does that have then rolling downhill onto the county?
Well, that would be similar to, you know, trying to cure a hangnail on your toe by shooting your toe off. And, you know, what that does is have huge financial impacts, even further than this rollback in the access roll. And so all of a sudden we become a state in the country that doesn't take advantage of the federal government's program, and therefore our citizens all pay more when everybody else is paying less and the federal government is providing financial performance into the Medicare or Medicaid system.
State lawmaker Frank Antonori, a state senator from Tucson, wants to force the state's largest cities to let private companies bid to provide services. Eventually, Senator Antonori, Republican from Tucson, wants to extend that requirement not only to all cities but to counties as well, and that would ultimately, he wants to take it to the state level.
And I think that's just fine because I think the public sector should and can compete on services with the private sector and who can provide the best service most cost effectively and deliver a product should be the apparent winner. We do that all the time. And I think a lot of people fail to understand that probably a third to 40% of our budget is contracted goods and services that we obtain competitively. And so it's not a new concept. It's simply kind of looking at trying to get at a problem that, frankly, in many cases doesn't exist. And that is the whole philosophy at this point in time that the bureaucracies and governments and government employees are lazy or bad. And that's just a complete misnomer. And it's perpetuating a myth that doesn't exist. And I think, from my perspective, I would be happy to compete. And we compete today. And we'll compete tomorrow, and we'll do very well.
So why is something like this even necessary if it's already being done, say, in Pima County?
Well, I think that what happens, there's this perception that that you know, government is ineffective, it's slow, I think it's just a perception. And what happens is that a lot of philosophies get advanced in legislation that have nothing to do with reality. And I think this is one of those you're seeing, and unfortunately we're seeing more of that today, as opposed to solving real problems like the state's budget deficit.
Senator Antinori has another bill that would call for the recall of county managers and city managers, and of course that you certainly have a dog in that fight, in that it would certainly affect you. But I'm wondering if you could just comment on the general philosophy in terms of the notion of hiring a county manager or a county administrator and sort of insulating them from the direct political process and the way it exists now, and how this would affect that.
Well, first, let me tell you, the legislation, I think, I don't have any concerns about it. I think it'd be more entertainment. Because I guess Clarence and I would be on the same ballot to being recalled after somebody was able to get 95,000 signatures. What happens is in our system we have the politicians, the elected officials, who basically collectively, and this is what people understand, collectively set public policy. That means that's usually democratic process and votes, and those who have the most votes set the policy. The professional staff are the ones who basically analyze, develop the policy options for the elected officials to consider, and they're supposed to do it in an unbiased manner, so that basically those who govern have the full range of options and the full range of impacts, and that's what professional managers do. And frankly, this kind of would put a chilling effect on hiring professional managers. Maybe what we get is political managers, but I don't think we need two sets of politics operating local government, and that would be a disaster.
So outstanding candidates, perhaps out of state, would see this law and say, I'm not even going to bother with Arizona, write it off.
It would be probably another black eye on, you know, Arizona with regard to what kind of public policy we're setting through the legislative process, much of which then gets questioned in the judicial side or into the courts.
Got about 2 minutes before we take a break, and you have graciously said you would stay till 30 minutes past the hour. Quick update on road projects. The RTA money, is that helping out in some of these road projects around the county?
RTA funding has been really essential in completing these road projects. All local governments, and it's a city, and it's the county, and any town, they're dependent upon what we call highway user revenue funds to operate and build their highway system. We all know that because of the economy, because of the price of fuel, those revenues are down. They're down dramatically in most cases, 10 to 15%. The legislature turns around and then solves their budget problem by taking local highway user revenue funds and supplanting those in the state budget, causing another impact. The governor just announced another raid on the HERF revenue. So all of these transportation agencies, city and county and towns, are having difficulties, and our construction program would essentially be at a stop had it not been for the RTA funding. With the RTA funding, we're able to continue to advance a very rational and reasonable construction program to improve our highway system.
In a few seconds before the break, any of the projects wrapping up very soon, some of the bigger projects?
We're wrapping up a series right now. We've just had a ribbon cutting down in Green Valley on a frontage road. I would guess before the end of the year, we'll see La Cañada finished, we'll see La Cholla finished. And we'll
That's good news to a lot of people in that area.
I would hope so. But unfortunately, we'll see other projects start, like La Cholla and the McGee intersection just awarded a contract. And it's never been a better time to build highway projects because the estimate for that project was $23 million, and it came in a low bid of $15 million. Okay. Significant savings.
Chuck Huckleberry, stick around. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk. It's 22 minutes past the hour. This is the Buckmaster Show on KJLL AM 1330 and BuckmasterShow.com.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA Four Diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is your one-stop store for fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and Mont Blanc and other top-of-the-line writing instruments. Order online at sarnoffart.com or visit owner-operator Henry Sarnoff and his store staffed by artists, for artists, and those who seek the finest quality in everything art-related. Sarnoff Artist Materials, 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at sarnoffart.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at VeroMorePizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
It's 24 minutes past the hour on Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show. The Friday Focus newsmaker is Chuck Huckleberry, Pima County Administrator. And joining me in studio, Jim Nensel of the Tucson Weekly.
Chuck, I just wanted to ask you about the county budget. I know everybody's struggling these days to meet their projections and manage their budgets. How's the county doing halfway through the fiscal year here?
We're just fine. And one of the things that I think everybody forgets is we began taking steps 3 years ago to shrink our budget, anticipating where we would be. The big wild card in all this is state cost shifts. And we can't really predict those until the legislature is out of session. And to date, I think we've had an aggregate about $43 million of state cost shifts onto the county budget. And we don't have anybody else to shift it to. So we're the lowest level of government, so we have to suck it up and do that. And we've been cutting our own budget, and in aggregate, our budgets have been cut about 15% beginning 3 years ago. And so we have a fairly healthy fund balance or reserve, and that is for contingency purposes based on what the legislature does. The last thing we want to do at this point in time, the delicate stage of recovery of our local economy, is look at taxes and tax increases. That won't happen. The board's already said that, and so what we're trying to do is actually reduce taxes next year, and I think we're in a position to do that. We haven't had to go to layoffs, and we haven't had to go to furloughs because Everybody in our system has cooperated and actually reduced our budget expenditures over the last 2 to 3 years.
Have you seen a reduction in just the number of positions? I know you're saying you haven't had layoffs, but have you had a lot of unfilled positions or anything like that?
We have reduced the number of positions in the county. About a year ago, we reduced 500. This coming year, we'll probably reduce another 500 to 700. Because we have transferred one of our programs, and this is why the bill from the legislature is so silly on privatization. The board just transitioned a huge chunk of our medical service business, the Pima Health System, over to a private operator effective January 1st. And so that was done because we knew in this next bid cycle we couldn't compete, and therefore it would be appropriate to take the proactive steps of transition. We've done that. That's transitioned now over 300 employees into private sector positions similarly. And so we'll continue to do that. So I expect we'll be down another 700 positions when we do our budget in 11 and 12.
The Rosemont Mine, the proposed Rosemont Mine, from what I understand, they still need at least a half dozen or so permits from various agencies. Rosemont needs an air quality permit from Pima County's Department of Environmental Quality, PDEQ. Pima County seems to be in no hurry to issue one.
Well, we have a very structured process, and it regards and requires public input and public review, and we're going to go through that meticulously. It is a very complicated project and requires thorough analysis, and we're going to do that thorough analysis, and there won't be anything political about it. It will be factually based and based on engineering analysis associated with their proposal.
There have been some problems with the Green Valley air quality with some of the mines down there. What's the latest on that? Fines have been paid, and is the air quality any better down there in Green Valley?
Well, it's better, and the both of the air quality episodes that caused so much stress in Green Valley could have been prevented with proper measures, and our goal is to make sure that the private mining companies have those incentives to install those proper measures so the citizens of Green Valley don't have to go through this again.
Got about 2 minutes to go, Jim Nitzel.
I wanted to bring it back to health care and just ask if there's been any analysis of what the federal health care reform impacts would be on Pima County.
Well, the federal health care reform impacts, I think, are positive in the sense that they get more people insured. And when you have more people insured in a system, you have less what we call aggregate bad debt. And so that therefore there isn't this tendency to try and offset bad debt because people can't afford insurance or can't pay for medical care through increased rates at hospitals or increased rates at the doctor's office or increased insurance rates. And so it was a hope that for the very first time you could begin to get a handle on this rapidly escalating healthcare cost that has doubled and tripled the typical consumer price index over the last few years.
And that impacts the county because you're providing health insurance for
people. We provide health insurance, and our health insurance provider this year quoted us a 30% rate increase. And so we're out getting private proposals again in the competitive market to try and bring that excess cost down.
Got less than 30 seconds. The new sewer plant is proceeding?
Newer sewer plant is proceeding. We're having a little argument with a second bidder who thinks they should be the first bidder, which it's going to court in mid this month. So we'll get that resolved, and we'll get Roger Road replaced one way or another.
Okay, Chuck Huckleberry, thank you very much for being on our Friday Focus on the Friday Roundtable here on the Buckmaster Show. It's about 30 minutes past the hour. Our Reporters Roundtable will be next. Mr. Huckleberry, have a great weekend.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it.
Listen to this.
You're tuned into Tucson's best choice for local talk.
I love it, huh? Little back and forth, witty repartee.
KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. There is new fighting reported in Cairo. Gunfire was heard in the streets not far from the huge demonstration going on at Tahrir Square. There weren't as many jobs added last month as economists expected. Analyst Todd Horowitz explains one reason why.
The big companies in this country have learned that they can make their current employees work harder
and they can do with less of a staff.
The government reported today the nation's unemployment rate fell to 9%. Horowitz says a lot of people have given up looking for work. Hundreds of flights are canceled because of a snowstorm in Dallas today. A lot of people are trying to get to town for the Super Bowl Sunday. It's a big job keeping the Super Bowl safe. The cost will add up to $10 million. New York Yankees pitcher Andy Pettitte is retiring. He spent 16 years in the big leagues, 13 of them in New York. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Our place is about to turn into game day central, but this year, I'm ready.
Sam's Club member Paula Rickenstein.
Tasty appetizers, snacks, ice-cold drinks, even 3D HD TVs. All at great savings.
Like a Vizio 42-inch Razer LED 3D television for just $9.97. Plus, join now through February 6th and score a gift card worth up to $25.
Bring it on, game day. I'm putting Sam's Club in.
Learn more at samsclub.com/entertaining. Sam's Club. Savings made simple.
AutoZone. AutoZone Rewards members, now you can earn even more faster.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Now, earning rewards is faster and easier than ever before. Get a $20 reward every time you spend $20 or more just 5 times in 6 months. If you're not a member, go to your local AutoZone and get your free card and details today. We give you more value because we value you more. Now, shift your savings into even higher gear with the AutoZone Rewards card.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA 4-diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Are you up for the challenge? It's the third annual Boot Camp Challenge, March 19th. Join Olympic athletes, local armed forces, and celebrities as we laugh, climb, crawl, walk, run, and work out boot camp style through a 5K run-walk obstacle course. To sign up as an individual or a team, go to beatcancerbootcamp.com or call 546-1601 for the Cancer Boot Camp Challenge, 7:30 Saturday morning, March 19th at Brandy Fenton Park. For strength, for health, for life, for fun.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tancredi, at the southwest corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tancredi, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
It's 35 minutes past the hour. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on KJLL AM 1330 and on the World Wide Web anytime at buckmastershow.com. Time for the Friday Radio Roundtable. Joining me on the Friday Roundtable, Sarah Garrett Gasson is here from the Arizona Daily Star, Mark Evans of the TucsonCitizen.com, and Jim Nintzel stays over from our interview with Chuck Huckleberry. Jim from the Tucson Weekly. Hello, everybody.
Hey, Bill.
Hello.
How about them Wildcats,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, how about that? They're looking
first
really
place.
Good. They are looking really good. I want to begin with a short excerpt from a major piece in Time magazine by Nathan Thornburg. And he says, basically, about Arizona, the budget's in a shambles. The schools are among the worst in the country. The governor's accused of running death panels for cutting off funding for organ transplants for some Medicaid patients. Representative Gabrielle Giffords, Tea Party-backed opponent, held a get-on-target-for-victory shootout at a gun range as a campaign event. Rallies against a controversial immigration bill last year featured so many tearful calls to prayer and accusations of Nazism that it seemed like an all-Hispanic version of the Glenn Beck Show. And they quote Bruce Merrill, a professor emeritus at ASU, saying, "It's about as bad in 40 years of observing Arizona politics as he's ever seen." And in conclusion, Mr. Thornburg says the question is, can Arizona get anger management? Can it stop hating itself long enough for the rest of America to fall back in love with it and maybe even learn something from it? Do we need some anger management, Sarah Garrett Gasson?
Well, if that's not a slogan for come visit Arizona, I don't know what would be. I think anger management might be a good idea. I think a reality check might be a good idea as well. Also, we have a legislature that's focused on somewhat on the budget, but it's bad news, and they're doing all sorts of other weird stuff to distract us. I'm looking out here in the window at the Santa Catalina Mountains. Everything's beautiful, but if you look past the natural beauty of the state, there is a real, real problem.
Yeah, maybe. There's some hyperbole in that, of course. I mean, there's trying to make a point. But, you know, are the politics bad? Yeah, the politics are bad. But is life in Arizona all that bad? Well, you know, it depends if you have a job or not. If you don't have a job, it's really bad here. But if you have a job, it's not any different than it was a couple of years ago. The key is, for me, is Arizona going to progress and get better in the future, and do we have the political leadership to make that happen? And that is where I think we're failing. We've, and it's partly our own fault. We have elected a batch of political leaders who are more interested in scoring points and sticking it to the federal government than trying to push Arizona into the future and lead the state. Fortunately, there's some people outside of the government that are trying to do something about it. You've got Sandra Day O'Connor's effort. You've got Lottie Kaur. Some of the people that used to be powerful in Arizona are trying to get us, you know, straightened out. And I hold out encouragement for that. I think what will happen is all of this political bickering will backfire, and all of us will wake up, recognize that we're not getting it done, and then we'll elect people who will get it done for us.
Jim Nintzel.
Well, I think our political leaders are actually engaged in what could be described as a fundamental transformation of the state, in which they are actually working very hard to dismantle many of the things that people have built in the state over decades. They are working to dismantle the university system. They are working to dismantle the state park system. They are working to get people off of the healthcare rolls in Arizona. And I think this is a overarching plan. Even you see it in small ways with Frank Antonori's plan to ask cities and counties and towns to privatize their operations as much as possible. And the idea is to reduce government literally to the point where you can drown it in the bathtub, as Grover Norquist would have enjoyed doing.
And that's anarchy. That's not government.
Yes, definitely anarchy. And you got to wonder, I think Mark's point, I wish it were true, but things were bad for the past couple years, and look what voters did in 2010 in that election, and that's what we're living with now. I think looking toward the future, it is not a good picture. I mean, I'm just trying to capture the spirit of the thing here, but it's just sort of the idea that schools are in real trouble. Businesses are in real trouble. We have a healthcare system that is in real trouble. And when you go out of state and you talk to people, people don't want to come to Arizona. People think it's right or wrong that it's a scary, sketchy kind of place. And I think we are doing no service to ourselves by pretending that does not matter.
Well, the big story out of Phoenix this week at the Capitol centered around guns, existing gun laws, and proposed weapons legislation that includes guns on college campuses, allowing guns in public buildings that don't have metal detectors, and allowing people to shoot varmints at night.
Well, that's really
which I think puts journalists on the hit list.
Right.
We'll have to watch it when Jim's out and about down on Congress Street, huh?
Yeah. Apparently, there's a scourge of coyotes that need to be slaughtered at night because they can't find them in the daytime. What is this about? That's Frank Antonori fooling around, but. In terms of the reform of gun laws, and that's also part of what Jim was talking about, which is the reform of attitudes in the state, and that particular hard right coalition that believes fervently that it's about individual freedoms and for them and the Constitution. They like to quote the Constitution quite a bit. That you know you have the right to carry a gun, and there should be no prohibitions whatsoever. And you know. They've tried this bill before, and it didn't pass. But now they have a lot more Republicans. It's 61 out of 90 legislators are now Republican. So we'll see what happens. You know whether that is going to result in gun battles in the street. I don't know. I think it's more of an issue for the police than it is for general citizens.
The Arizona Daily Star editorialized, and I don't know if you wrote this particular one, gun show probe, referring to the kind of the sting operation that was conducted by Mayor Bloomberg and New York authorities in Phoenix. You say gun show probe, Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star, is beside the point.
Yes, actually my colleague Jane C. White actually wrote that one, but we talk about things and agree, of course. The Mayor Bloomberg had a, I don't know if you would call it a sting operation, but he had investigators that were based in Arizona go to a gun show in the Phoenix area. And because there's this loophole where private sellers can sell to private buyers in gun shows without the background check, they had investigators basically, telling people who were selling the guns, oh, good thing I don't have to pass a background check because I probably wouldn't, which should raise red flags. And instead of taking note that these errors in how the law is supposed to be handled were taking place and being alarmed that this is kind of a giant big loophole that needs to be fixed, proponents are focused on the fact that it was spearheaded by Michael Bloomberg from New York. And the point is not that some mayor from New York is coming to Arizona and trying to tell us what to do. I think he's making the point that just a couple weeks after six people were killed and 13 were injured severely, that in the state, the gun laws and the impetus is not there to do just common sense sort of things like fix this loophole.
Well, I was encouraged somewhat when I saw a public policy polling this week released a survey of Arizonans in which I think more than 90% said that they thought people who were mentally ill should not be able to acquire firearms. And I did have to wonder about the 4% who thought that it was okay to arm the mentally ill.
There
but
were 4%. That many,
4% thought... You know, what's the big deal? But I think you are seeing some concern, certainly in the wake of the January 8th shootings, that guns are too available in our community.
And, the prohibitions are trying to prevent people who shouldn't own a gun from having one, I think, are good. And we should be looking at the gun show loophole. But there's still a larger problem there. I mean, you look at Nick Delich, who went on a shooting rampage a few years ago, and he shot and killed that police officer. He was prohibited from buying guns, and yet he's still able to obtain them, including in one unique way, he ordered parts online and then assembled the gun together. So it would be great to try and close off that loophole, but to what effect? There's so many guns in our society right now, you'd still be able to get one if you wanted one, which is one of the arguments that the gun rights lobby makes, which is, only criminals would have guns if you banned guns. So I don't know what the solution is, but I think arguing about loopholes, right now is another one of the distractions in terms of getting Arizona back on track. We need a budget, and we need properly funded education. And that doesn't seem to, anybody seems to be concerned about that in the legislature.
So if an Arizona city passes a very strict gun control law, it would be superseded by what the state law says about guns, correct?
I believe so. Yeah. And I think the bigger point needs to be that this needs to be a national thing.
Right.
President Obama needs to spearhead this and do what needs to be done to get these sort of problems fixed on a national level, because going from a patchwork of states, one state has one law, the other state has the other law, which is the way it is now in Arizona, which has some of the most liberal gun laws in the United States, isn't going to work. It just doesn't work. It needs to be a national, federal system.
But getting back to Mark's point, I think that's, even if you do succeed in doing that over the objections of the gun lobby, of course, which is very powerful, you still have the problem of so many guns already out there that it becomes fingers in the dike.
Right, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to prevent future harm because things are already in a particular state of affairs.
New polling about the future prospects of U.S. Senator John Kyle if he chooses to run for another six-year term next year. And there's some polling out, Jim Nintzel, about President Obama, how he would fare against GOP challengers in Arizona in 2012. This thing about Kyle's become a big guessing game. The Arizona Republic had a front page piece, I think, 2 days ago on the whole speculation. Is he in or is he out?
And I suspect he's in. There's certainly been rumors that he's had enough and is ready to retire. I'm hearing from my friends in the Republican Party that he is in and is going to run for another term. And the public policy polling puts his numbers very high. He has surprising support among Democrats. I think 25% of Democrats said they would support him. You know, those are very good numbers to have going into an election, although we saw what can happen even with good numbers up in Alaska with the revolt of the Tea Party and the win of that Joe Miller in a primary election up there against the Lisa Murkowski. But then you also saw the almost unthinkable happen with Lisa Murkowski winning a write-in campaign for a U.S. Senate seat. So politics are very unpredictable, and what your poll numbers show today may not be what they show tomorrow.
How about President Obama? Who would he be up against in that poll? Or who was he up against, Republican challengers?
What was surprising about that was that in Arizona, President Obama actually was beating Sarah Palin, whose popularity seems to be on the wane, especially in the wake of the January 8th shootings. That style of politics seems to be going a little bit out the window, although I would also add that the poll also showed a majority of folks did not think that she bore any responsibility for the shooting rampage. And all the other challengers, of course, Obama was losing to here in Arizona.
The wild card is the Tea Party, and whether it's going to maintain its enthusiasm for the next 2 years and whether it will play a role in 2012, because with the Tea Party, which is really a schism within the Republican Party, kind of all bets are off in terms of who will succeed in the primary process for the Republicans. I don't know whether Sarah Palin will become the nominee, especially now that Michelle Bachmann, it looks like she has decided that she's going to be the Tea Party candidate for 2012, and the two of them are going to siphon off votes from each other. So, but yeah, I have to defer to Jim on predicting politics,
prognostications,
right? Because I predicted that
Jim's kind of the man with the polling. He's kind
Dean
of
Martin
polling.
Was going to be the governor of Arizona, and I didn't even come close on that one. So,
I think Mark's right that the test will be what happens with the Tea Party Republicans and then the more mainstream Republicans and how that turns out. I think looking at the legislature in Arizona, it's not necessarily a good idea to count the Tea Party out within Arizona.
A new report is out this week painting a grim picture of Arizona's handling of child well-being issues. Sarah Garrett Gaston, The Star, that shouldn't come as a big surprise, should it, to us, that Arizona is the third worst in the country when it comes to children's health care?
Yeah, yet another sad and depressing poll about the state of children's health and well-being in Arizona. I think Mississippi was below us, and I'm forgetting the other state. But it's that same sort of group of states that we show up low with in education and with health care, especially with children. And it's so short-sighted to not do everything possible to educate kids, keep them healthy, because if you have an uneducated, sickly population coming up, that is the future of your state, and it just makes no sense to not put every effort and every possible benefit behind keeping kids healthy and educated.
I think that's exactly the point, and where that, how do you do that is where we get the political divide. So the Republicans believe that the role for achieving what Sarah just said lies with each individual parent, and that the more money that they keep in their pockets through low taxes, the better they'll be able to provide and make those choices for their children and choose their own child's education and provide their own child's health care, and that it's not incumbent upon all the rest of us to provide that, versus a Democratic point of view, which is it's too hard to do on your own. You need that economy of scale of the entire community coming together to help lift the whole community, and you do that through taxation and spending on social programs.
And I would just point out that, you know, the kids care program gives you a 3-to-1 match of federal dollars, and we have frozen the kids care program. So as kids age out of it, new ones are not added onto it. So it will eventually, unless that freeze is lifted, eventually you won't have anybody covered under kids care.
Is anything being done on the budget, which according to that Time magazine article that I started this session off with has now grown to well over $2 billion, anything being done with the capital on the budget?
Well, Daniel Scarpinato, who's one of the PI public information officers up at the Republican end of the legislature, says that there's hearings and the legislators are paying attention to it, but there's enough other sort of junky legislation out there that you really got to wonder.
They can't do anything until they find out about the federal waiver.
52 minutes past the hour. That's going to do it for the Friday Radio Roundtable. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks a lot.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is Tucson's award-winning destination for everything art-related, including fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and the world's best writing instruments. Visit owner-operator, artist Henry Sarnoff at 2504 North Campbell, 3 blocks north of Grant, and always at the easy-to-navigate website, sarnoffart.com. Because it takes an artist to know an artist's needs.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Cap Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Twitter. twist and shouting out by the pool. Oh my goodness, it's time for the Matt Russell Weekend Watch on the Buckmaster Show. Matt Russell, host of the weekly radio show On the Menu Live. If you haven't checked this show out, you got to do it. It airs Thursday afternoons at 5 here on KJLL. Matt, again, welcome to the Buckmaster Show.
Thanks so much, Bill. I don't know what pool you're talking about, but I'm twisting and shouting and ice skating on my own pool at home.
Yeah, and how about all those frozen pipes we were dealing with?
Oof, I know. They're just going off like fountains all across the city. We had our own little water and heat problems at my home, but it looks like Southwest Gas is on the scene, and we'll be back to normal in no time.
What's this about a new restaurant? Something about barbecue?
Absolutely. Great segue. You know, starting tonight at 5:30, there's going to be the official grand opening of Mama's Hawaiian Barbecue down there at 850 East Speedway. They've been open for a few weeks, but this weekend is going to be their special commemorative grand opening, where they're going to have a ribbon cutting tonight at 5:30 with the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. There's going to be raffles tonight and all day tomorrow for things like T-shirts and gift cards and iPod shuffles and other prizes. And listen, they're going to be giving away free samples of Kahlua pork, which they roast in-house for 22 hours.
Ooh.
This is where I need to be tonight and then all day tomorrow at Mama's Hawaiian Barbecue.
They smother it. They bathe it in Kahlua and let it just simmer on that Hawaiian barbecue for almost a full day. Cool.
Almost a full day. This is authentic island-inspired cuisine at its finest here in Tucson.
Oh, boy. Where are you going to watch the Super Bowl on Sunday?
Well, there's so many great places in Southern Arizona to watch the big game, Super Bowl 45. My pick for this weekend is actually going to be in the garage.
What?
And by that, I mean Cerveza's Taco Garage, which is on the northwest corner of Speedway and Swan. They're going to have a great party there, great beer specials, great food specials. And if your listeners have not been to the Cerveza's Taco Garage, this is one of the most unique restaurant concepts, I think, in Southern Arizona, especially for vintage and special interest automobile enthusiasts. It's going to be a great time over at Cerveza's. That's where I'll be.
Valentine's Day is coming up. Of course, that's a huge eat-out event, even though Valentine's Day is on a Monday night. What the heck?
I know. We're actually going to be getting a jump start on Valentine's Day on our show next Thursday, February the 10th, and we'll be fulfilling our fondue fantasies, as it were, by broadcasting live from the Melting Pot restaurant right there at the Foothills Mall. And I say, Bill, what says romance like vats of bubbling oil and chocolate?
Oh boy, make that bring that romance to a boil.
That's right. Well, my wife and I are celebrating our 20th wedding anniversary this year, so I say the Melting Pot is certainly going to be on our list of celebrations throughout this year.
Congratulations, Matt.
Thank you, Bill.
I do want to put a plug in for the Arizona Inn, because that'd be a great place to go to dinner on Valentine's Day, and they just happen to be a sponsor of ours, along with Vero Amore Pizza. Both those would be absolutely wonderful places to take that special loved one.
No question about it. Every encounter I have had at the Arizona Inn, be it for breakfast or lunch or dinner, I always treasure those memories, because it's such a special moment when you can dine really in culinary style at the Arizona Inn. I love it.
A few seconds left. On the Menu Live is going very well. Folks who haven't checked this out, you talk about not only food, but you really get into wine. And there are some real winies, aren't there, here in the Southern Arizona area?
Yeah, thank you for saying winies and not winos.
Yeah, not winers or winos, but winies.
There are. We get the chance to talk to Yvonne Fouché every show on Thursday at 5 o'clock, who runs Catavinos Wine Shop and Tasting Room on Fort Lowell and Alvernon. She does something called the Wine of the Week, where she showcases one of her special bottles of wine. She's a great friend and a great business here in Southern Arizona. We have a great time chatting with her every week.
Okay, here comes your music. Have a great weekend, Matt Russell.
Getting back to the ice skating rink. Thanks, okay. Bill. You do the same.
Thank you so much, Matt Russell. On the Menu Live, which airs Thursday afternoons at 5 here on KJLL. I want to remind you that the Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers & Rieger is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, on behalf of Team Buckmaster, the lovely and talented producer Rosemary Brandt, and the lovely and talented marketing director Deborah Howard. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and a safe weekend. Try to stay warm. Hope you have heat and water. Have a great weekend.
Tucson's Jolt. KJLL, South Tucson.